The following is an unrehearsed interview with Pauline Harper Johnson of Milburn, Carlisle County, Kentucky. The interview was conducted by John Marshall for the Kentucky Oral History Commission in Mrs. Johnson's home in Milburn on August 7, 1978, at approximately 3:30 p.m. Wait a minute. Your grandfather Watson was born here. That's Joseph Watson.
Mm-hmm.
And he was born in Carlisle County.
Joseph W. Watson.
And he enlisted from here into the Union Army in the Civil War. Okay, let me see now. Now, what were his parents' names?
That's what we don't know.
You don't know who Joseph Watson's parents were?
Mm-hmm.
But you know he was born here?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, okay, so you know that he was at least 16 when he enlisted, depending on when. He was at least 16, so he was probably born about 1835, something like 1835, I mean.
Wait a minute now.
Okay.
Let me give some more dates. May the 28th, 1840.
That's when Joseph Watson was born.
Correct.
But there's no record there of who he was born to, huh? Isn't that interesting?
We think he came from West Virginia.
Yeah.
But that we're not sure.
You think his parents came from West Virginia?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. He was part Indian.
Oh, I see.
Uh-huh.
Where was he born in Carlisle County?
Oh, near Bardville.
Near Bardville. Uh-huh. And when did he...
1840.
Okay, so he's probably 21 when he enlisted. All right. And do you know what regiment he went with?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
We don't have that.
Uh-huh. Now, did he return to this area after the war?
Yes, he did.
Uh-huh. And did he marry then, or was he married beforehand?
No, he returned here and... 2161. No, he wasn't married then.
Uh-huh. But when did he marry?
I don't have that.
Uh-huh. Do you know who he married?
He married Mary Elizabeth Brandt.
Mary Elizabeth Brandt?
Uh-huh. She's born 1854.
B-R-E-N-T, is it?
B-R-E-N-T.
Thank you. B-R-E-N-T. And she was born in 1854. And was she from Bardville area,
she,
too?
She was in the county, from in the county.
She was from?
And she was the daughter of Mary of she was the daughter of Mary E. Mary E. Walker Brandt.
Mm-hmm.
And Joseph Brandt.
Okay, and do you know, have any idea when they came into this area?
No.
Okay. Can you tell me what your grandfather, Joseph Watson, did for a, how did he make his living?
He was a farmer.
He was a farmer? Mm-hmm. And do you know where his farm was located?
Oh, yes. It was located between here and Bardville.
Between Milburn
and Bardville. Milburn and Bardville.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
And how long was he on this particular farm?
Well, from the time he returned from the service until he died in 1912.
And how many children did they have, he and Mary Elizabeth Brandt?
Eight.
Good heavens, eight.
Yes.
How many of those survived into maturity?
All of them.
Is that right?
Yes.
That's a good proportion for that time.
Yes, it is.
Out of those eight children, which ones were your parents?
Ada Watson.
Ada?
Ada Watson.
Uh-huh. And when was she born?
She was born in 1875.
Mm-hmm. And did she go to school?
She went to grade school at a little country school called Chenault.
How do you spell that?
C-H-E-A-N-U-L-T.
C-H-E-A-N-A-N?
N-E-A-L. C-H-E-A-U-L-T. N-U.
Okay, I got it. Yeah. Chenault School. Well, that's one I haven't heard of. Do you know where that was located?
Yes, it was located near the home.
Between Melbourne and Bargall?
Yes.
Uh-huh. And when did she marry?
She married in 1992. She married Deep Walston of Bargall.
1892, she married who?
Deep Walston.
Deep
Walston.
D-E-E-P?
D-W-E-P. Deep Walston.
Uh-huh.
W-A-L-S-T-O-N.
Uh-huh. And he was from Bargall.
Yes. And two children was born to them. That was Learon, L-E-R-O-N, Learon Walston and Mary Walston. And then Mr. Walston passed away in 1901, and she was married to my father, Francis Marion Harper, in 1906.
Francis Marion?
Francis Marion Harper.
In 1906.
And then my brother and I were born to them.
Mm-hmm.
My brother is Francis Eldred Harper.
What's his middle name?
Francis Eldred, E-L-D-R-E-D.
Thank you.
And better known as Buster.
All right.
Everybody knows. And Pauline Harper.
Pauline?
Pauline.
Uh-huh. Okay. When you were the Deep Walston, was he a farmer or did he?
Yes, he lived, and they lived in Ballard County, their life.
Oh, did they? Mm-hmm. Where did they live?
Near Oscar.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then did your mother move back here before?
Yes,
she
moved back to this Selma.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And
my grandfather Harper's name was John Harper.
All right. The Harper family. Now, when did they come into this area? About
1850 or 60.
Uh-huh. Okay. And what was his occupation?
He was a farmer.
Mm-hmm.
And he I thought I knew when he was.
Do you know where his family came from when he came?
Well, they came from Fayette County.
Uh-huh. And did they come down here by themselves, or did they come with a group
with
of people?
With a group.
Uh-huh. The group was from Fayette County?
Yes.
Do you know any of the other names of the people who came at the same time?
Rudolphs.
Uh-huh.
I believe Stevenses.
S-T-E-V or P-H?
S-T-E-P-H-E-N-S.
Mm. Okay. Do you know how they came? They came by land or water?
Oh, I think they came by land.
Uh-huh.
And my grandmother Harper was Mary Stevens.
All right. Okay, so, and she was of that Stevens family that came down. Mm-hmm. All right. Now, where were they situated in Carlisle County? Well, in what became Carlisle County?
Yes, in about the same area as the Watsons were.
Is that right?
Uh-huh.
Between Bartville and Milburn?
Yes, that's right.
Where would that, let me see, is there some landmark out there now that you could say, well, it's only about a mile or half a mile or something?
Oh, I'll tell you, it's about 2 miles out. This is Harper Road. We
uh-huh.
have it. This road running to the Carlisle County School, connecting with, what's the number of that highway?
This one's 80 out here.
No, I mean this one, it goes to Bartle, cut through here.
This one's 1172, 1372, hang on.
14.
No, wait a minute. 1371 is Harper Road.
All right, Harper Road. And their homes is there about 2 miles from here.
Just off this road, huh?
Right on this road.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, I got that down. Got the Harper. Got the road name.
Named Harper, did you? Well, that's good. Mm-hmm. That keeps the name going for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, you come from all the way back, everybody in your family have been on the land, so to speak, haven't
yes.
they? They've always been farming, involved in farming.
Yes,
yeah.
yes.
Now, do you know what sort of farming was they were most interested in, they were engaged in most of the time? Were they, like, did they raise livestock more than they grew crops, or vice versa?
Oh, I think it was about even.
Uh-huh.
Hogs, if I remember. Back then, they didn't think about cattle. They just had, maybe one cow or two cows, and that was all.
Yeah.
And then they had their hogs, and then the other was corn, and maybe tobacco.
Uh-huh. Your family did raise some tobacco, did they?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. All right. Can you tell me why... Well, tell me a little bit about the history of this area, of Carlisle County and of Milburn. I know that your family's pretty well tied up in it and that you know something about it. And if you could just tell me a little bit about the reasons for the settlement and something about it.
Milburn was situated in South Ballard near the Hickman County line, and it was the seat of a very old settlement, and the town was located in about 1830, and it was named in honor of William Milburn, one of the first pioneers of the southern part of this county. I believe that William Milburn came here in 1822 from all the reports, but Milburn just didn't get settled till 1830. This Milburn, he said that he was was a man of intelligence and refinement, and he was very courteous and kind and possessed a large degree of Kentucky hospitality. This town at that time was situated in the farming region and was settled originally by immigrants from the East Kentucky and Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
Most of these people came from Virginia up into the other part, north, the southern part of Kentucky. And among those who came to Kentucky was, you want to know about that? Who came?
A few of the early families, yeah.
Joseph Grundy, Cad Young, and John Wolfart.
John what?
Wolfart, W-O-L-F-O-L-K, Wolfart.
W-O-L-F-O-L-K. Okay.
A Mr. Reddick, I believe his name was William Reddick. Mr. Cummins and Reuben George. And those that came from Virginia was a Reverend Joseph Ashbrook. And he's the father of J. Ashbrook of Paducah, which we're widely known through here. And Thomas Rudd and Moody Hobbs and B. McGeary. They came in this early, in the early part of the day and broke brush and cleared land and laid the foundation of the present mill.
Mm-hmm.
And then the others that came was Abram Stevens and Reverend Mr. Shenault and the Hughes family and William Pyle, P-I-L-E, you'll find, and George Hobbs and Moses Thompson and Frank Thompson. You'll find that that their descendants on down through the ages that's to be long remembered, and especially this Reverend Shenault, and then the William Pyle family. And Melbourne grew to be a town of considerable note by the reason of its enterprise. And this, and by the hard work of its merchants and businessmen. And I can give you quickly, who was appointed postmaster in September the 29th, 1837.
1837.
Correct.
Hmm.
He was followed by Andrew Warden, then Christopher Powell, and Dr. Herman Reed.
It's just P-I-L-E, isn't it?
Yes.
Hmm.
The first businessmen in Melbourne were James C. Dupree, Turner Horn, James B. Quigley, and George Cookendoffer.
How do you spell it?
C-O-O-K-E-N-D-O-F-E-R.
Hmm.
Others who bought lots in Melbourne at that time were J.T. Carr, Peter Siebert, Abram Stevens, Thomas Sanford, and Stephen Jewell. Now, Daniel Sanford, and Edward George, and William Reddick, and James Lockridge, they were lived out of the little settlement of Melbourne. They was on the outskirts of Melbourne. Um, Now, James B. Quigley might be interested to know that he was born March 8, 1801 in Pennsylvania of Irish immigrants. He went to Tennessee when he was young and with his parents. There he was married to Martha Ogden, a native of Culpeper County, Virginia. And then they came to Kentucky and landed in Clinton about 1831 and came to Melbourne about 1836. His death occurred in 1861. Their children were Quincy, a lawyer at Paducah at that time. And you will find that he played a part in building this Alvin W. Barclay home. Turner Horn was born in 1812 in North Carolina and died in 1883 at Columbus. He was married to Louisa Lockridge.
Now, did any of the people who came and settled this area come in groups of, say, religious groups, or they just came as, well, groups of settlers more for safety's sake than anything else?
I think so. Mm-hmm. I think you'll find that.
Yeah. And
this McGarry, I have a recording on that McGarry. We talked about this McGarry over here coming into the settlement. His father hid in a boat and came across to Kentucky in that boat, and that's where he
yeah.
Their first other Melbourne residents in 1860 were Peter Stevenson, a blacksmith, Edward Farmer, hotel keeper, Charles W. Melbourne, and James Jones were merchants. Matthew Cummings was a clerk in a store. Isaac Boyd and Thomas Lincoln were school teachers. Charles W. Lincoln was a house carpenter and William King was a wagon maker. Dr. Herman Reed was born July 16, 1860 in Greene County, Kentucky. He died at Melbourne, January 7, 1874. He was one of our first physicians. And he was also a druggist in Melbourne for several years prior to the Civil War. He was married to Lucy R. Powell, daughter of William Powell of Washington County, Kentucky, who came to Hickman County in 1835, became an owner of 4,000 acres of land before his death in 1850. Mrs. Reed was born October 20, 1827, died 1915 in California. Dr. Reed came to Melbourne in 1841 and was one of its earliest doctors, as I've told you. The business section of Melbourne in 1860 included Joseph W. James and Thomas George and Dr. Usher and William Barlow as a wagon maker and William Bland as a blacksmith. And J.N. Sanford, or Jasper Sanford, was a merchant, and his store had just recently gone into somebody else's hands.
Is that right?
Because all those years was a Sanford that operated that general merchandise.
Are they related to the Sanfords that still have that store at Blandville?
Yes, that they were his family.
Hmm.
Yes. If you talk, then George W. Stone at that time was a was a blacksmith, but he became a druggist at a later date. Mm-hmm. And then Mrs. Catherine Richardson was proprietor of our hotel. And Miss Abby Boswell, in later years, kept the hotel, as well as the Greens, Miss Bell Green. And ministers in Melbourne at that time were Levi Calvert, pastor of the Baptist Church, and George W. Casey, pastor of the ME Church. And there were two other ministers in their era, and it was H-O-U-C-H. He was a blind minister, and he was of Baptist faith. And Henry Trent was also a Baptist minister, and he was helped organize our Baptist church here in 1866.
Okay. All these ministers that you just named, you said at that time. Now, what year is this? About what time? 1860s, 70s?
Yeah, in late 1850s, I think, uh-huh. into 1860. Uh-huh. Yeah.
You said that one of the men was an ME minister. What is that?
Methodist.
What did they call it, ME?
I can't think what it could have been right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, probably quite a few of these people, since they came from where they came from, brought slaves with them. Was there ever a large black population in this area?
Not too large. But I think. Let me read you this from an article that I have. That's Melbourne should have been made county seat, we're told.
All right. Tell me about that.
But if for some reason, I have that in history down the line, but now I just can't remember it. May the 3rd, 1886 was the day it set forth the Legislative Act as the official birth date of Carlisle County. The county's first officers also were named by the legislature and met at Melbourne the following day to take their oaths of office. To Thomas P. Hayes of Melbourne went the honor of being the county's first county judge. And he was sworn into the office by W.M. George, And Judge Hayes then administered the oath to others named to the county office. And you've got turned on. Don't turn it on yet.
Okay.
Then they built this bill in 1866.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, when do you think that education first started in the county?
Well, it was well underway in 1850s.
Uh-huh. And what were the first schools? Were they?
What the first schools? One of them was in the Christian Church, and. I believe they were called Male and Female Institute of Melbourne, and some of its earlier teachers was E.C.L. Denton, and then he was assisted by Miss Fanny Peoples.
Mm-hmm.
And the ones that was trustees and board members and presidents of that time was C.R. Mix, Isaac Stevens, Simon Holt, and C.W. Milburn. And by the way, that Simon Holt's grandson, Warren Holt, is our chairman of our school board right mm-hmm. now. So that makes, and then G.W. Stone and W.J. Edgerton and Mr. Edwin has lots of descendants that's been connected with the school system here too now.
So now, were the schools that were here, were they church schools mostly, or?
No, they taught. The schools were only in the church building.
Uh-huh.
They taught. They had regulars reading, writing. and arithmetic and geography and English grammar and geography and even had drawing.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Melbourne, there was a Melbourne Academy that was in session at that time, and I believe that was held in the Methodist Church, and they offered first, second, third, and fourth year in that, and they offered algebra, higher arithmetic, Latin, and United States history, and geometry, and physical geography, and botany, and chemistry.
The subjects that were offered at the Melbourne Academy?
Well, the Melbourne Academy, and also this male and female institute, they had reading and writing and arithmetic, geography, and English. And then they had also algebra, higher arithmetic, Latin, United States history, geometry, botany, chemistry, science of government, and German. And they had a great music department. They had these teachers that came from Nazareth, Kentucky, that taught music there. And some of their teachers were from even New York City.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, we find from all history report that education was much better in Melbourne than it was even in our neighboring town of Mayfield.
Mm-hmm.
I found an article in Mayfield Messenger in the that was written in early 1860s, and it said complimenting that Melbourne had such interest in the schools system, and it should, and they was writing in it and asking that people in Mayfield that they might have more interest in the school system and try to enlarge their school system. And I'll read you a paragraph from this school that was from this paper in regard to the schools. Now it seems to us that the people of Mayfield might be profited by a little more zeal and energy in behalf of home education. We have all the natural facilities for good schools, but nature never yet made a school. It is not so much the place as the people that builds up and sustains good institution of learning.
Mm.
And then after in 1866, the Melbourne people still saw the need of education and want to enlarge the field of education. And they built a large seminary building on Seminary Street, 60 by 40 feet, and was two-story high, at the cost of $5,000. And this was built by a joint stock company, but afterwards it was transferred to the Methodist Church, and it was under its supervision that it went along with that for several years.
Now, when did the state come in and start setting up schools in this area, do you know?
Well, we are not right sure of that, but to the best of our knowledge, it must have been in the late 1800s or early 1900s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But education was a real force here in Melbourne in the latter part of the 19th century, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
And we did not have a graduating class until out until 19 and 16, which were in our first graduating class then was 19 and 20.
Mm-hmm. For the people from other areas, did the people from other areas move to Melbourne because education was...
Yes, they did. And there's many, they built homes here. There was houses that was being erected and for families to, so they could rent these homes, or they, for these people that's coming in to educate the people. And then most of the homes took young boys and girls into boredom to go to school here. Mm-hmm.
Well now, Melbourne's prominence in the county has declined in the 20th century. What's the reason for that? It's not for instance, it hasn't been county seat.
That's correct.
And when the county was formed in 1886, I imagine a lot of people expected it to be the county seat.
Yes, that's right.
Do you know why they named Bardwell the county seat?
I was thinking it was from a well that was there, and from a Mr. Bard, and this well that was there. I believe that's the history of that.
Why did they designate that area as the county seat rather than Melbourne?
Well, just like best I can get from the history, it's just like everything else right now nowadays. They had, in other words, let's say, the word pull. They had more pull to get it to Bardwell.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Did the railroad...
The railroad might have had a little bearing there, too.
The railroad was in Bardwell, but not in Melbourne.
No. The railroad came through Bardwell in about 1874.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. But there never has been a railroad through Melbourne, is that right?
No, never has been a railroad through Melbourne. Mm-hmm. And Carlisle County was formed in 1886, you see. It was from the Ballard County, you see.
Mm-hmm. What do you think in the 20th century has been the most notable feature about Carlisle County? Has it been always that its agriculture has sustained it? Some people have told me, for instance, that Carlisle County's the second smallest county in the state or something like that. And, you know, it's pretty difficult to just continue to exist if... is small and there's not much industry here.
I don't know just why we've only had this small factory over at Arlington.
Yeah.
And I don't know why it looks like, I don't know just why we haven't got others. Maybe it's just another thing. It takes a lot of hard work to get those things done.
Yeah. And, Carlisle County doesn't have a town on the river, does it?
No.
Did it ever?
No.
Never did it?
No. No, was that too far from the Mississippi River?
Hmm. Uh-huh. Well, but the part of Carlisle County is on the Mississippi River.
Yes,
is
I guess
not?
So.
I believe it is. But I just... the closest...
Laketon.
Right, Laketon is the closest thing to a town, and I don't even think that's a town at all, really.
No, it's not a town.
I guess it's just because of all the rough country that's in there.
Yes, it's very rough country.
Yeah.
We used to have a railroad to Berkeley down there.
Right.
And that would have been, looked to me like that would have been a good center for some industry right in there.
Mm-hmm.
But, and Bardwell, since it was on a railroad, and then the state highway of 51, looked to me like that if, you know, somebody to push that.
Yeah, but it just hasn't happened, has it? What's the school situation now? All the students from Milburn go to Carlisle County Hospital.
We have a central school now, and this building that was erected in 1866 was torn down a couple of months ago here. The schools was consolidated, the high school was consolidated with the Carlisle County school system in 1957, and then 67, the lower 8 grades went to be consolidated with.
So what school is here now?
Not any in town of Melbourne.
No
town in Melbourne. Of course, our Carlisle County school system was only 4 miles away.
Yeah. Now, there's not a school in Bardwell either, is there?
No.
They all go to this area up here.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Now, that area must be pretty close to where all the Watson family and the
That's right.
Harper family
That's
live.
That's right.
There.
And the Brandt family. See, my mother's, and that was that. The Carlisle County school system is now on the property of the Brandt
family. Is that right?
Land.
Hmm.
Uh-huh.
Well, there isn't any water that runs through this area of Carlisle County, is there?
No.
See, it's really interesting that Milburn is still alive and well, you know, because it's not on a railroad and it's not on a river and it's. It doesn't. There's no industry within 10 miles.
No.
As far as I know, it's about 10 miles to Arlington, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Out there too.
And you know, this town seems to be
very prosperous.
Yeah.
We have 2 grocery stores.
Yeah.
And 3 beauty shops, and a garage, and a body shop, and a post office, and.
Well, do most of the people who live here who work, they have to go away to work, I guess?
Well, most of them do. They go into the neighboring towns,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of them are retired.
Mm-hmm.
They've already made their life. But it is prosperous. We have 3 churches, and those churches have such nice finances and
mm-hmm.
everything, and we just two, you see, we're going to get a bank, which is a branch bank of
mm-hmm.
Bardwell Bank,
right.
And we're only 5 miles from the Grace County line, which that all up in there in the east part of the county is a good tobacco territory.
Mm-hmm. So the land around here is still thriving. Huh?
Oh yes, yes.
So
it's nothing for a farmer around here to make $60 or $70 a year off his farmland. See,
mm-hmm.
And these boys, it's been several boys that's been working at these tire plants, making $26,000 to $30,000 a year. Several of them quit this year to devote their time to farming, because they can make more money than that.
$60,000 or $70,000 a year farming.
Yes. We were talking the other night with a group at our church, and it's just nothing for a young married man around here to make $150 a day.
Good heaven. It's hard to believe, isn't it? Well, that's exactly what the people who first settled here had in mind, because they came here and stayed here because of the land.
Yes.
And I think it's almost fitting that that's the way the people are making the money nowadays, is off the land.
Yes, that's right.
Hmm.
That's right. And then we, most of our young people have gotten good educations, and around here that are still here, and they go somewhere else. They have a job in other towns around, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's due to their, goes back to
yeah.
our good education.
Mm-hmm. Well, were there ever any, let me see how I put this, in each area that I've been in, there's always a story or two about a murder or a hanging or a lynching or something in the background. Is that true in Melbourne?
Do you know that story?
No.
We're trying to find that story about somebody being hanged here. It's been told. If you read Barry Craig's article on the Melbourne in the early days, he was told of somebody being hung here in Melbourne, and that we can't.
You can't verify whether it's happened or not, huh?
There was a man electrocuted here. He killed a Richardson man, killed an old man Violet, and they took him to, and him.
They electrocuted him at Eddyville? Other than that, and the rumor of a hanging, it's been a pretty quiet existence, huh?
Yes.
Yeah, that's nice. Uh-huh.
we have had a bank, but in other days we had a bank up until in the 30s, I think. And we had a drugstore, and we've always had a doctor until just in recent years.
Where do you have to go for your health care now?
To Arlington. We have a physician in Arlington.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have hospitals in Clinton, and Mayfield is closest mm-hmm. for us.
How far are you from Mayfield?
15 miles.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now that's on 80, you see.
Yeah. It's true. Huh?
And then about 15 miles to Clinton.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And 6 miles to